So we've been going over the series of how to have a godly home, and Lord willing, maybe, we're getting a late start, so maybe, Lord willing, one way or another, we may get done this morning on this series. If we don't, we'll finish next week. But we have talked about, number one, salvation must be experienced to have a godly home. Number two, the scripture must be embraced to have a godly home. Number three, submission must be expected to have a godly home. And we've been, the last couple of weeks, going over number four, which is separation must be enforced to have a godly home, which leads us up to number five, which should be the last message in this series, and that is service must be enjoyed to have a godly home. If you don't enjoy serving the Lord, why are you serving Him? If your family, your home, if there's not joy in serving the Lord in that, in your particular home, your home life, then how can you serve the Lord? You know, recently, you know, I've changed jobs a couple months ago, and things are going very well, extremely busy, but it makes the day go by, and I enjoy it. There's some days that I am dead beat till the end of the day, but, you know, I enjoy it. And in a sense, I'm serving my boss by working for him, and he pays me, and all goes well. But, you know, as children of God, as if you trust that the Lord is your Savior, you know the Lord is your Savior, we are to serve Him. And it's not that He gives us a paycheck every week or every other week. He daily, the Bible says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. You're not always going to see God in your bank account, but He daily loadeth us with benefits. I've worked jobs where I said, you know, the pay's not so good, but the benefits are good. You know? But you can't say that with the Lord. His benefits are good, and He pays good. Now, we don't serve the Lord so that He will pay us, so to speak, or benefit us, but we serve Him out of love for what He's done for us. Because who else would send their only begotten Son to a sin-cursed earth, not just to send Him here, not just to send Him here on a mission program to see if He could, you know, preach the truth to people and convert them to the ways of God and then go back to be with God. No, He sent Him to this earth to die for our sins. As a father, I cannot fathom that. Nobody in here is getting any of my sons. I love y'all, but I'm not giving you my sons. And you would say the same. Tracy, you got three boys, three men now. And you couldn't fathom giving up even Daniel, you know? And I wish he was here so I could pick on. But, you know, you can't, that's because we are not God. We can't fathom that. But, you know, the Lord, He gave His only begotten Son, gave Him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. None of that was in the notes, but it's a good start. As we think about this today, who did the board? Why did you do that? Awesome job. I don't want to say usually because I usually don't hook up with Justin about that. And I haven't done that lately. And Justin's not here, so it's a perfect verse for what we're doing today. Yeah, pat on the back for that, buddy. But it is. It's only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, and for consider how great things he hath done for you. We're talking about serving the Lord today. Service must be enjoyed. As we try to finish up this series on how to have a godly home, we're ending up back where we started, and that was in Joshua 24. We'll not read all the verses, but we will read verse 15, and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're not talking about unsaved people serving the Lord here. I don't believe I'm looking out at a whole crowd of unsaved people. I don't even believe I'm looking out at a crowd of 50% of unsaved people. But I do know that there probably is a possibility. Maybe someone in here this morning does not know the Lord as your Savior. You cannot serve the Lord without knowing him as your Savior. But we're preaching to the people that have trusted the Lord as their Savior this morning. And Joshua here is talking to the children of Israel here. And, you know, no doubt in the crowd that he was speaking to, there was a lot of them that didn't know the Lord. I'm sure, you know, if you go back from here back and read, there's plenty of things. You know, the children of Israel weren't the greatest model sometimes for knowing the Lord and following the Lord. But at this point, Joshua's close to the end of his life, and he's giving them a charge. And he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Notice that he did not say we will follow the Lord, even though following the Lord is a very good thing. And the Bible teaches us to follow the Lord. He did not say we will believe the Lord, although that is a very good thing. There's many verses that tells us about believing on the Lord. He did not say we will obey, fear, or love the Lord, although all those things are very admirable things to do, good things to do. But here he says we will serve the Lord. To have a godly home, we must work together to serve the Lord. If we are not working together, we are not serving him. Fellas, each and every one of us that have a home, each and every one of you men that are married, have homes, you're head of the home, and hopefully the messages so far this year on the godly home are helping you. I know they are helping me in studying them. And even you young men that aren't married yet, you're headed that way, and these things are good for you as well. But as a family, if you're not working together, you are not serving the Lord, and you're not serving him together. The definition of serve here in this verse, if you look it up in Strong's, it says to work. Labor, to serve another by labor, or to serve God. There's a lot involved with service. Serving God is not just words. It is work. Turn over to James. We got a lot of places to turn this morning. The book of James and chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if you're just hearing the word of God and you never do it, you never serve God, you're deceiving your own self, according to the Bible here. Verse 23, if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We see that serving God is work. It is work here. James talks a lot about it. I see here in verse 25, the last part of the verse, it says, or right in the middle, it says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God will bless you for your service to him. And then on down in 27, it explains to us what the work is. Pure religion. It is undefiled before God. You know, if there's something that we can bring before God, it's going to have to be undefiled, because God is holy and he does not have any room for anything defiled. There's nothing defiled in his sight. And so we must have pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father. Is this, what's it say, to visit the fatherless? And we don't as much see that today in our country. I know it was not too long ago Pastor Wilson was talking about the orphans, so to speak, speaking of here, and how things have kind of changed in our country. I mean, there still are orphans. They just don't call them orphans. It's more in a foster care kind of thing now. But to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You know, there's widows in our church that can use visits. They can use help. It says, the widows in their affliction. There's some things that the older widows may need. You know who they are in this church. We don't have to point them out. But you know who they would be. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt to say, do you need some help with something? Can we help you? And I know of some people here that have helped certain people, and they don't want their name up in lights. But I've seen that, and they don't even know that I've seen it. Pastors seen it. Others have done things for others like that. And, you know, the Lord will reward you for that. That's part of serving him. And that's the good thing, when you don't have to ask somebody to help somebody. When you just go, you know, when God lays it upon your heart, and you know there's a need, and you take care of it. Visit the widows in their affliction, and to, what's the last thing? To keep himself unspotted from the world. We're not going to go over, we talked about that in another point, and we talked about all that, but that, you know, that's part of serving God, is keeping yourself clean. Keeping yourself and your life clean for the Lord. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be pure. Again, I refer to the verse a lot that was said over in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, where Paul told Timothy to keep thyself pure. You know, that wasn't, you know, it was in a moral sense, but it's more than a moral sense. Keep ourselves pure. Keep ourselves, as the Bible says here, unspotted from the world. God doesn't want spotted servants. He wants us to be unspotted from the world. Serving God is not boasting. Many times it's blisters. It's work. Serving God is work. and you can get blisters doing it. You know, Pastor Covens and those that were here at the time, I don't think there was, is there anybody still here that was here when y'all built this building? Who was here when you first come in the buildings? Anybody? This building. Raise your hand. Are you scared? Yeah. You can raise your hand. It's okay. So, but what I'm saying is this church was built, and there was blisters that took place. But, you know, this building was built. There was a lot of thought and planning put into it that it would last a long time. But we're not building a church every day, so to speak. You know, there's things to be done around here, and that's all part of serving God. But there's much more to serving God than just swinging a hammer and hitting nails and doing things around here. There's much more involved in the service of the Lord. If you have questions about it in some way, you can serve. See Pastor. Pull him to the side and say, Pastor, is there something I can do? And you know, it's not all done right here. There's a lot done right here, but it's not all done right here. We can serve the Lord. Serving God is not talk, but it's time. You know, we get so busy in our work week that we don't take time to serve God. I mentioned my new job and how busy I am, and sometimes I feel like that the time has went by so fast, and the bulk of my study now is on Saturdays, which, thank the Lord, I don't have to work on Saturdays now. There occasionally I will, but I see where that has come in very handy, because now I spend a good part of Saturday looking into what I'm going to do here in Sunday school. But sometimes we get so busy that we don't serve him. You know, and as busy as I am at work, I should still be serving the Lord. It should always be, and this comes full circle back to Wednesday nights, what are we thinking? What's in my thoughts? Now, there's many things that I have to think about during the day. In the repair business, you're always thinking about how you're going to get something up and running in an efficient time and without putting a ton of money into it, and keeping things rolling is what essentially I do. So there's a lot of thinking involved in it, but always in my mind I should be thinking about the Lord. Somewhere in my mind those thoughts should be going around. And you may have a job that's totally different than mine, but each and every one of us would say, things are busy at work, but yet let's not lose sight of the things of God and serving God and seeking that opportunity that may come up, and it may not be every day, but sometime there's an opportunity comes up for you to speak up for the Lord, to say something for him, be a witness, a testimony to others. It's all part of serving the Lord, sharing his word. Coming to church, this might be a surprise to you this morning. I'm not going to ask for raised hands. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. But how many of you think that you are serving God by coming here this morning? Because you're not. This isn't part of serving God. We come to church to worship God and to hear from his word, from those who will stand here, who God has impressed upon their hearts, something to give you and I. And we're here to hear from his word and to grow from what we learn here, but also to worship the Lord. There's times, you know, we sing. We very seldom that we don't sing. Singing is a way of worshiping the Lord. There may be a few times where pastor feels that there's no songs, and that's okay. If that's the way God leads him, then that's fine. But you know, we worship in what's the Bible say? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. worshiping him. Now, see, you can do that anytime. We can do that going up and down the road. I can do it when I'm laying under a truck or a piece of equipment or whatever I may be doing. I can worship the Lord. And you and I can do that. We can worship him. And it's all part of serving God. But coming to church is not serving God. We come to worship him. All this kind of leads us up to a question about what is service. We'll look at that for a minute. I do want to give you a couple examples in the Bible. We're not going to turn to them, but of those that served, Aaron and his sons in Exodus 28 served in the tabernacle. Of course, Moses and his sons served in Genesis chapter 7 as they built the ark. They were serving the Lord, making preparation for what was to lie ahead. It was all part of serving the Lord. David planned and prepared the building of the temple for and his son Solomon carried it out in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We can see that. And that was all part of serving the Lord. But keep in mind the thought of what is service. Look at a few things here in the time we have left. As we think about service must be enjoyed to have a godly home, the first thing we want to look at is service is an ambition. The word ambition, though we don't find the word here in the Bible, it's just in the outline, something that we've come up with here when I thought about this. Service is an ambition. Noah Webster says an ambition is a desire of preferment or honor. You know, if you're going to serve God, you have to prefer to do that. You have to purpose in your heart that you're going to serve God. And it's an honor to serve the Lord. You know, many people will say in this country, the United States, there's many people right now that are serving our president, and no matter who the president is, there's people that serve under him. And we've heard testimony of those before. They have served under other presidents or whatever, and they would say it was an honor to serve under him. You know, it's an honor for you and I to serve the Lord. We should consider it an honor, a privilege to serve him. Service is an ambition. Service says, there's a job, let me do it. Service doesn't say, there's a job, I'm going the other way. You know, there's been a few things that have come my way through work over the years that you see it come through the door and you're like, somebody else take this one. But you know, in serving the Lord, we should say service, if we've got service in our heart and we got the ambition, service will say, there's a job. Let me take it. Let me have it. Let me do that. We should be looking for things to do. Like I said, you can ask pastor, what can I do? Is there something I can do? And you know what? If pastor doesn't give you something to do, and he may not have something for you to specifically do, then ask the Lord, what can I do to serve you? Maybe it'd be a good thing in our prayers in the morning to say, Lord, how can I serve you today? What can I do that will make a difference in your kingdom to serve you this day? What can I do? You know, it's like those opportunities that Pastor has spoke of many times. Pastor Cobus used to use the phrase, a window of opportunity that comes our way. God will give them to us, and it's an opportunity to serve. Let's turn over to... Yeah, Let's go to Exodus chapter 35. I can see we're probably going to be into next week, but that's okay. Exodus 35. Exodus 35 and verse 29 is where we'll start. Talking about the context here, the building of the tabernacle here. And again, we're not the children of Israel, but we can make a comparison here. It says the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make all manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholadab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all the manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those who devise cunning work. We're talking about work. Remember, in the meaning of service was work. And God gave these men, he said, first off, in verse 31, it said, he hath filled them with the Spirit of God. You know, there's no servant like a servant that's filled with the Spirit of God. If we're going to serve the Lord, that's the first thing we have to be. We have to be saved and we have to be filled with the Spirit of God, not the spirit of this world, the Spirit of God. That makes the biggest difference, you know, and then God keeps things in order. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. I've done a lot of things in my life with my hands and things, and some things I'm good at, some things I'm not so good at, and some things I'm still working on. And God has given me a skill to do certain things and to fix certain things and do stuff, and I thank the Lord for that. But he's given me that opportunity so that through it all, I can serve him. Because there's a group of guys that work where I work that need the Lord. And it don't matter how fast I can put a clutch in and out of a Mack truck or how good I can weld or how handy I am around. It matters what my testimony is and that I'm serving the Lord while I'm doing what he gave me wisdom to do. And each and every one of us can fill in the dots there in your area, in your life. And you know where you're at. You know what God has given you, this spirit, to start out with the Spirit of God. But he's given you wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. Remember, no matter what you're doing it for a reason. God gave it to you for a reason, that you would serve him through it. God gave a few years back, probably a little longer than I think it has, I thought he lost his mind. Maybe he did. But God gave Will, at Will, what age did you go into the fire service, the actual academy? 42. He did lose his mind. He mentioned to me one time, he says, "You want to consider this?" I'm like, me no fit for that. But he did it, and God gave him the spirit to do it. Start out with he had the Spirit of God, and then he gave him wisdom and knowledge to do it. You know, it ain't just riding a fire truck. You know, I think a lot of people go into that thinking, is it really cool, man? I'm going to put out fires and do this kind of stuff. And I found out over the years that, you know, they want you on that ambulance, don't they? Anybody can hold a water hose, but they want you on that ambulance. Now, it entailed holding the water hose, too, and going and burning buildings and all that kind of stuff. But God gave him the wisdom to do it, even at that age, when, you know, people like me thought he lost his mind. But God gave him the wisdom to do that, because there's a group of guys and girls, women, where you were at that needed the Lord. And I know sometimes you probably feel like you didn't even scratch the surface with them. But you never know how far the Lord will use that. Well, we're not getting very far. Service says there's a job, let me do it. I got one more I want to look at on that one, and that's in the book of Nehemiah. Flip over a few more pages there forward. After Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 1. Thought about Nehemiah as I was studying, and you know, thought about what service says, there's a job, let me do it. Nehemiah, we're not going into the whole backstory, but most of you know how that he got a burden about the walls of Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem, how it had been burnt down, tore down, knocked down, and the Lord gave him a burden for that city. And I did write down the verse, but I wanted another one. Verse 4 of chapter 1. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Move on up to verse 11, where in his prayer here, he ends his prayer and says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to my prayer, the prayer of thy servant. You see the word serve there, thy servant. And the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." We know the story there. We're not going to go into a whole study of Nehemiah. But he said there was a job. Let me do it. Turn over to chapter 2 and verse 17. Chapter 2 and verse 17, and Nehemiah says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Service said to Nehemiah, "There's a job, let me do it." Nehemiah said to the Lord, "There's a job, let me do it. Let me have it. Let me do this." Can you imagine the job that was before him? Rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. It's one thing to build something, but especially in the stone and stuff that was used in that day and age, that era of time, to build something, to go back and put it back up, to fix it, is sometimes more work than just doing it. Because when you go to fix something, you always find something else wrong. And Nehemiah took on the task. He wanted to serve God. In his life, service said, "There's a job. Let me have it. Let me do it." And we're out of time, but we got a couple more on service. I'll give you those just to tease you for next week. Service says, "There's a need, let me meet it." And service says, "There's a call, let me answer it." We'll also see that service is attitude. And that service teaches. Service is appreciation. So we'll think about that. We'll hit on that next week. Time has flown by this morning, but I thank the Lord for the time he's given us.